Fine, you can be seated for a moment. Now this week is going to be the very last on David and Goliath. I know you're saying we're getting kind of tired of hearing it, but you know, I'm not getting tired of hearing it, but I know you're ready to go to another subject. But it's just important that everybody understand the battle that we're in. How many know that Satan doesn't take any days off? We do for spiritual warfare, he doesn't. How many know that we can't always figure him out, but he always knows how to figure us out? Amen? Satan is very wise, and he knows what he's doing. Now before we get started, I my wife's been in the hospital twice in the last couple of weeks, and it's amazing to watch the hospital charts and to see what people have said. So I wrote down some things from some crazy hospital charts. Y'all ready? Number one, the patient refused an autopsy. You'll get it in a minute. Next one, note, patient recovering from forehead cut. Patient became very angry when given an enema by mistake. Okay, this is going downhill fast. I might as well go and take it all the way down. Ready? Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left side for over a year. Okay, it's got going down. On the second day, the knee was better. On the third day, it disappeared. She's numb from her toes down. This is real stuff. This isn't made up. Patient was alert and unresponsive. That's not like some of my kids were never coming up. Oh, finally, there you go. Skin, somewhat pale but present. And finally, patient has two teenage children but no other abnormalities. I can't even say it. All right, get your Bibles out. We're going to talk about David and Goliath. Lessons learned from a rock fight. It is very important that we understand this stuff because this is where you're at every day. I know you don't understand it all the time. You're thinking, well, you know, one of the biggest things that the devil does is on about Friday, he starts working on you. He'll start working on your family. He'll start working on you, and he'll start finding a way to aggravate you. So by the time Saturday comes, he might even have you in a full-blown fight. Or even got you psychosomatically ill. So by Sunday, you say, I don't even feel like going anywhere. I'm so mad. I'm so aggravated. I don't even want to go to church to start with. Blah, 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 blah. And what happens is, that's warfare. Satan don't want you in here. He don't care if you go to Walgreens. He don't care if you go to Walmart. He don't care if you go to McDonald's. He don't care where else you go. He don't want you in here. And you say, well, I can just watch it on television. Well, if you're sick, you need to watch it on television. If you need encouragement during the week, yes. But on Sunday mornings, I challenge you to be here because of the collective faith of the congregation. It's a collective faith. It's not just, I can do just as good. No, you cannot do just as good at home. You cannot do just as good riding down the road listening on the radio. Yes, that's there. It's very valid and it's useful, and I thank God for that. But when it's time, the Bible says, forsake not, or to throw away the gathering or the assembly of thyself. And if you look up that word assembly in the Greek, it's synagogue. So the synagogue is where they went to worship, of course. And so, as you see the day approaching, do it all the more. But as we see the day approaching of the Lord, it gets less and less and less. And it's all over the land. It's not just in this part. It's all over. So that's part of spiritual warfare. So we got to remember, Satan, y'all say it. Look at somebody and say, Satan does not want you in here. Amen. He does not want you in here because in here there's collective faith. In here there's collective problems. In here you can talk to somebody who might be going through the same thing you're going through. So it's very important. It's like camp meeting. I've heard the preacher preach a message during the week. And then, I went to preach a revival, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to preach. And the Lord, I'm not kidding, he said, it was a five-night revival, and he said, preach the last five sermons you preached at your church. I said, Lord, they're kind of dry. I mean, the people weren't getting all excited. He said, preach the last five sermons you preached at the church. So, all right. And I got up there on Sunday night, and the place was packed, and it was amazing what happened in that place. By Wednesday night, they were standing in the pews. It was amazing. The same stuff before, now where people came anticipating and expecting and were together, it was amazing what happened. So, again, spiritual warfare. You got to watch what Satan is doing to you, okay? So here it is. This is Learn from a Rock Fight. And let's go and get your Bible out to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Not going to read as far as I did last time. God is so good. Get your Bibles out. 1 Samuel 17. Stand for the reading of the Word. God is so, so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, God's got you. Amen. Let's see here. I'm trying to find out some of the Hebrew. I told you I was going to tell you something very special at the end of this message. Let's look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thee thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear, sword, and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to David. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on the face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew it, and cut off his head thereof. When the army saw their champion was dead, they fled. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne. We know, God, that you have called us together this morning, not by accident. Lord, you have called us together to make a difference, Lord, to learn of you and make a difference with each other and make a difference in this community and make a difference in our families. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint. Help us, God, to get us out of the way and listen to you and listen to your word. We know, God, that you got this, and we trust you 100% to take care of business. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. All right, lessons learned from a rock fight. Of course, just a couple of just short. Here's David fighting Goliath, and all these sermons I've ever preached are all from David's viewpoint. Now it's from Goliath's viewpoint. And so just quickly, I was another day in the office for Goliath. Goliath, he was the, Goliath means beheader. And so he was their champion, one man against one man. And for 40 days and 40 nights, which is the number of trial, he had been offering to take those guys on. And nobody would take it on. This is typical warfare. Satan gets in our head. Listen to me carefully. Satan gets into our head. And usually he uses our voice to talk to us. One more time. Typical warfare. You don't see a bunch of planes coming in, and you don't see tanks coming. Satan gets in your head. He plays in your mind. And he usually uses your voice to bring you down. So now, of course, he's getting ready to find out something. He's getting ready to meet David. So there's five things that Goliath did brought his defeat from the little shepherd boy. Five misconceptions. So let's look at these five misconceptions that can bring us down. Because a lot of times we have those same misconceptions. We must never allow these things on the spiritual battlefield. And we should be this watching this should bring a lot of hope. So here we go. Just quickly, the first couple that we did. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. He judged the outcome of this warfare by the size of his opponent. Goliath saw the sling and he saw the stone, and he was just insulted. He just disdained him. He disqualified him. He was a boy, and here's this boy coming up against this mighty, mighty warrior. So he laughed and he mocked at this guy. And he had already determined who the winner was. Tomorrow morning, maybe even today, maybe even before you leave this place, your enemy has already started playing mind games. And when he's playing those mind games, if you do the same thing you've always done, of course you get what you always got. And he has already determined the winner. Don't let him. Don't fall for it. Don't get tripped up. Don't listen to the lies of the beheader. Because he looks at you compared to him and he goes, don't stand a chance. So number one, Satan or Goliath decided the outcome by the size of his opponent. Next, he did not respect the opponent's weapon. The Bible says that Goliath saw the sling as an insult. It was not even worth his time. That sling was primitive. It was nothing to it compared to the stuff that he had, the armament that he had. And so he looked over at David, and he thought, he's getting ready to go down. And because he had no respect for it, wow. The Bible says there were 700 left-handed people in the army. 700 left hands. They could take that stone, a stone and a sling, and they could split a hair with it. You see, us, put on the whole armor of God. You might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. I'm coming back to that in just a minute. I have to read this again. This is so important. I want you to remember this. There's no neutral ground in the universe. No neutral ground. Every square inch every split second is claimed by God or is claimed by Satan. Just think about that. You know, the cartoons had it right where they had the little devil on one side and the little angel on the other side. And a lot of times, like, it was Porky Pig, they had another little Porky Pig over here and another little Porky Pig over here. That's because Satan and God still using your voice in your head. Do you expect to hear Charlton Heston talking? There's no neutral ground. None. So, one of the biggest dangers that we face in our own life is we look at God's weapons without respect. We say, you know what? That they're not effective in this last day. They're out of date. We got to find something better than what God has already got. And while you're trying to find a weapon that's better, Satan is tearing your mind up. He's busting it. So it's important to remember God's word. Or we don't have any regard for it. We do not want to use it, or we think that we're not good enough to use it. So now, there you go. Number three. Get ready. He was overconfident. So I hit that thing wrong. Here we go. Get up there. Get on up there. Here we go. There it is. He was overconfident. I done put some over top of it. What overconfidence is, you believe you can overcome. Look, praise God. With confidence, you can believe you can overcome your weakness. With arrogance, here we go. Yeah, y'all get ready. With confidence, you can believe you can overcome your weaknesses. With arrogance, you don't even see your weaknesses. Satan, in the form of Goliath, and today us, Satan, is very overconfident. He knows us like the back of his hand. He's got his angels ready to pounce anytime. It never once entered into the mind of Goliath that he may lose. Not once. He never thought of it as a loss. Not one time that he may lose. He said, am I a dog? And for 40 days, nothing. For 40 nights, nothing. And so Goliath thought, nothing would change. It's amazing. Satan is propelled by pride. Let me read this to you. Get it up here. Had it all where I wanted it. It's more of that technical difficulty. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall ne'er look upon thee and consider, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, Oh, the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, they go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden upon the feet. How many know that Satan knows his fate is sealed? If he knows his fate is sealed, why does he keep on? If he knows he's going to, hell was created for him and his angels, and the lake of fire is going to be his final resting place, why does he keep on coming on and believing that he's got this? Because he's the father, not only of lies, but of pride. Satan knows he's defeated, but his pride won't let him accept it. And because his pride won't let him accept it, he keeps on coming. And he keeps on coming. And he keeps on coming. And his pride's got him thinking that some way, somehow, he's going to get out of it. Overconfidence will drown you in the sea of reality. I know DC and Daniel said, "Why do you always use us, Dad? All the time, you got to use us." Well, I'm going to do it one more time. I had taught DC and Daniel how to play chess. We were playing chess. DC was like 12 and Daniel was 9. And I was teaching them how to play chess, and one of our guys in the church was playing chess, and I always tried to build confidence in them. And so they thought they were pretty good, and I said, "Well, y'all might need to try a little bit harder for you. That, no, Dad, is a tournament coming up. This tournament is coming up at Johnston Community College for all the youth. It's a chess tournament." I said, "Well, do you think that you're really ready?" "Oh, Dad, we got this. We got this. We probably want him getting second, third, probably first place." It's okay. It was a double elimination for both. They both had to lose twice to be out. The place was packed. There was hundreds of people there. And so I pulled up and I said, "DC, Daniel, y'all got, we got this, Dad. We're going to walk out with trophies." I said, "Okay." And we pulled up, and I said, "There's no place to park. Y'all get out. Y'all go ahead and sign up, and I'll find a place to park. I'll be right in." They get into the tournament. I'm still trying to find a place to park. After a while, I finally find a place to park. And when I find a place to park, I said, "DC and Daniel come walking back out." I said, "Wouldn't they register?" He said, "Yeah, we can register." I said, "Well, don't want to let you play?" "Yeah, they let us play." "Well, when does the tournament start?" They said, "Daddy, we've both already been defeated twice." Is that the truth, son? And he's holding his hand up. That's the truth. You see, overconfidence, not talking about the end with the chess, but overconfidence will drown you in the sea of reality. God wants us to have faith. God wants us to have confidence. But it better be anchored in God and not in our own ability. You say, again, he was overconfident. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." That word "fall" means to be suddenly aggressively knocked off your feet. It also means to be overcome and terrorized. That's some heavy stuff. You see, it's possible to become too confident in your strengths and neglect your weaknesses. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was awesome. God was blessing him. It was amazing what God was doing with Abraham. But when Abraham went down to Egypt and saw what was going on, that he might be killed and his wife taken, he decided, maybe I don't trust God as much as I thought I did. And so he told Pharaoh some stories. God told it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh went back and said, why are you doing telling me all these things? You see, he had the rug pulled out from under his feet. He had been terrorized. And no longer was he standing. And that led to misunderstanding. I like this cartoon. There's Goliath. It says, yep, it's a rock. The Bible says Goliath was known for his keen eye for detail. Next, he left the place of vulnerability uncovered. Verse 49 says he got him right in the forehead. If you know anything about the armament, they were covered by their face. They were covered up to here. They were covered all the way down. They were covered on their head. And there was that one little spot where they could see. Armor come around, and they tied it. So they had that one little spot. But remember, David could split a hair with the stone. Plus, not only was David good with that stone, he trusted God. He said God was going to deliver him. God was going to do this. Not him. God was. Then he said, this time I'm going to take your head from you, buddy. You see, who would have thought it? Out of all of his body, the only open place was that small opening in his head. Remember something, Satan doesn't play fair. I want you to listen carefully. Satan doesn't play fair. He will find your uncovered place. And he'll play on it until he brings you down. What's the uncovered place? Usually, it's a place of broken focus. You got things going, you're watching it, you got it going on, and there's blind spots because you got your focus broken. And in that blind spot, Satan will hit you. And when he hits you, he wants to take you down. Don't take any chances. Cover everything in your life with the blood of Christ. I remember in seafood class, somebody ever took seafood class under Owen Lupton in Pamlico High? Did he make y'all splice the rope? Everybody spliced everybody's rope together. He took it and took his little truck out to the ball field and he tied it around the goalpost. We all spliced them together. He went out on the football field and he put that rope on the goalpost. And put the other end behind his truck. And he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled until he found the weak link. Or the truck was spinning. I mean, it was spinning. He had to really get it going hard. But he found the weak link. That stood in my head all these years, that weak link messed everybody up. Satan's a powerful foe. Not only is he looking for you, but you got to remember something. He's still vulnerable. The Bible says, at least Satan should get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, those words devices means are his plans or his strategy. The beheader lost his head, which means his plans were destroyed. I'm getting close to closing. I got at the end, I just got to share something I found out in the Hebrew that was so awesome. Next, Goliath risked his life for a lost cause. Goliath was on the losing side. He set himself against God. Just remember, when Satan comes against you, Satan's on the losing side. Don't team up with him. Don't let him stop you, because he is on the losing side. God's going to always win. Revelation 20:3 says that when Satan is bound during the millennial reign, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. There's a whole lot to this. I'm not going to go into the theology of all this, but there's going to be people born, people that make it through the tribulation. We're coming back, but those people that made it through the tribulation are still going to be going into the 1,000-year reign. And so in order for them to suffer. Now, Jesus in the 1,000-year reign, he's ruling with an iron fist. There's no sin. There's nothing that can stop what God is doing. And so in order for those that are alive on the earth to get the same opportunity to be tempted by Satan, God, in all of his wisdom, let Satan out of that bottomless pit. And even being in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, his pride causes him to raise up an army and fight God. Wow. And Jesus, he shows up. The brightness of his coming. Then he said, it will be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. All he's going to do is show up. All Jesus got to do is show up and win. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Isaiah 54:17. Remember three things in our daily walk, and I'm closing before I tell you about that last little bit, though. Daily, every day to your life, the battle's going on every day. Satan does not take breaks. He just may back up and re-come in from a different angle, but he's not stopping. The battle that we're going through every day is not imagined. It's real. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the wild world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So first, the battle's not imagined. It's real. The world will tell you there's nothing going on. It's real. It's going on. But also that battle that's going on in our families and in our workplace and wherever, it's not ours. It's God's. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto thee, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Wow. Look at that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Here it goes. Ready? The battle's not imagined. It's real. It's not ours. It's his. It's not fought in the flesh. I got this with the New Century Version. I just like the way it says it. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. We just read it. We fight with weapons that are different from what the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments and every proud thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. This week, which to keep this thought, this is a battleground, not a playground. Well, God expects us to have fun. Yes, let's have some fun. But this is not a playground. It's a battleground. And keep this task. Do you know why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Of course, it's through disobedience, but do you know what was actually happening? It took 40 years to get the slave mentality out of the children of Israel and develop a warrior mentality. A whole 40 years. It took 40 years to get that pride out of Moses. Powerful speaker, powerful man. But after 40 years in the wilderness, he said, I can't even speak. I stutter. What had happened was God used 40 years to help Moses develop not just a king's heart, but a shepherd's heart. And he spent 40 years driving out the slave mentality and introducing and developing the warrior mentality. I'm going to stop right here for a second. The Bible said to David, after he took on Goliath, the Bible said that he climbed up on him and he cut off his head. He held the head up. Everybody saw it. He beheaded the beheader. Normally it's Goliath holding up somebody else's head. Now it's David holding up Goliath's head. The Bible says he took it to Jerusalem and displayed it there. The Bible's not clear about where he buried that head. There's speculation. There's writings. And so I was looking through the writings and looking through the speculations. It had to be out of the city. It had to be at a dump. It had to be a place that was considered disdained. Jesus was crucified at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Golgotha is a compound word which combines Goliath of Gath. So just through the writings and the writings of these people back in that day, Golgotha, Goliath of Gath, hid buried on that hill, the place of the skull. Genesis 3:15. He said, the seed's coming, and you're going to bruise his heel. But he's going to crush your head. Think about the power. Because God always uses things of this nature to show that he's in control. And he's large and in charge. Wouldn't it be something if Goliath's skull is buried on Golgotha, where Jesus crushed Satan's head and beheaded him? Wow. That's powerful. What a powerful God we serve. DC, come on up here. This week, remember, I don't mean walk around like you're expecting the world to explode any moment. Not enjoy yourself. Have some fun, but I mean just remember, this is a battleground, not a playground. God wants to develop a warrior mindset in every last one of us. It's time to start taking back lost ground. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something inside of you that needs to be dealt with. Mom, I have no idea what it is, but there's some ground that has been taken. Maybe it's with your marriage, with your children, on your job. Ground has been taken. Develop that warrior mindset like David had. Start taking back lost ground. Luke 19 and 13 says, occupy till I come. That word occupy is a military term. It means to take back lost ground. So Jesus didn't just say hang around till I come. He said occupy till I come. Take back that lost ground. It's not easy. It's much more fun to be on the playground. Occupy. Take it back. Everybody stand. I had no idea this was going to be the doorway today into the Bible study coming up, and that's how to find your purpose in God. But the very first thing, if you're going to find your purpose in God, is to realize this is a battleground. I watch politicians all the time. They said, well, why aren't you putting your resources down here? I said, we've already got that. Just red or blue. We're going to battleground states. That's where we're going to invest, because that's where we're having trouble. I want you to start thinking as part of your... Where's your battleground states? And trust God to help you in all of this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I was amazed yesterday because I was watching Anna Lane play. It was so hot out there. Those kids were so hot. I could barely stand it myself. And they said it was going to be four innings. And at the end of the four innings, they were ahead by three runs. They come running in. Yay, we won, we won, we won. And the referee, or the umpire, said, nope, hope, 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 hope. He said, we got 9 minutes left. We're going to play till the 9 minutes is up. And they went back out and played another inning. They'd already won the game according to what was the rule. But the umpire, he makes those calls. And those girls were so tired. And in the last two innings, they wind up losing by 1 point because they were just tired. Just tired. They thought they already won. Now they're just tired. That was terrible to win and lose in the same day at the same game. And that's where some of us are at. We thought we were winning. We thought we had it. But Satan's calling for extra innings because he knows you're tired. He wants to get you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. They're looking around. I know some of y'all are just tired. You're tired. You're tired. You're tired. You're working hard your regular job. You got your own complications with your family. You may be sick. And you're just tired. And when I'm talking about this is a battleground, you're going, no, 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 no. No more, no more, no more. To be what I saw yesterday. To win and have victory snatched away. How many in here with every head bowed and every eye closed? First would say, and I always say this, but it's always necessary. I'm not as close to God as I once was. Or I'm not as close to God as I should be. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, but you put that hand up. I am not as close as I used to be. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Nobody looking around, please. How many say, I've been fighting the beheader really hard the last week or two. He's been messing me up. It's got me so tired. The warfare has about got me. What I thought was a win is turning out to be a loss. And I need God to help me. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Get real. Get honest. Can you say, yes, the beheader has been fighting me hard and I really need God to help me to step up and take him down? Nobody looking around. Just put their hand up. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for all you do for us. I ask you, Lord, to help us. First, we dedicate our life to you. Secondly, to remember this is a battlefield, a battleground. Help us, Lord, have that want to to occupy until you come. I thank you for it. I thank you for your strength. And God, you gave us a promise. They that wait upon the Lord, you're going to renew their strength. We need some strength renewed. Help us not to fall for the same things that Goliath fell for. And help us not to succumb to the beheader's arguments. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Y'all ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive.